everyone. We'll call this meeting to order. Will everybody please rise for the invocation pledge of allegiance? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today. Please be with everyone in attendance. Please be with all of our residents. Please be with those who are ill. Please be with our military and our emergency personnel. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our entire community in a fiscally responsible manner. Abraham, please call me.
Councilmember Pierce?
Here.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson? Councilmember Hogan?
Here.
Here. And Mr. Mayor Pelton did say
he
was going to be
back.
And Mayor Pierce?
Here. And Councilmember Wilson also called in that she was ill. Item 5, citizens participation. We have no one signed up this evening. We will move to item 6, consideration of the regular meeting minutes of January 11th, 2018.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept the regular minutes of January 11th, 2018.
Second. We have a motion by Councilmember Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Apodaca, to accept the meeting minutes of January 11th, 2018. Is there any discussion?
If you abbreviate, you wouldn't know the difference.
All right, so with that, all in favor, please raise your right hand. All right. Did you get that? All right, number 7, discussion and possible action in regard to a potential street maintenance and reconstruction bond election in 2018. I will turn this over to our city manager.
Engineer, and we
plan, $715,329. When we did our weighted average life calculation, that showed it was 19.31 years. So we decided to begin utilizing a 19-year amortization so that we could track the useful life of the projects. On to slide 7, we wanted to again highlight, because the foundation for the analysis that we're doing are the assumptions. And one of the things that came up is you had guided us to work closely with Ms. Vernon and Tina, and also we worked with Deborah Frazier, who is with your outside CPA. Part of the work that we did too is reaching out to the Bexar County Appraisal District to make sure that certain changes relative to the boundary change that you have with the city of San Antonio have been included. And actually, I think we have good news on that. We have been utilizing the numbers that were certified on July 25th of 2017, and the Bexar County Appraisal District numbers had not been updated at that point in time. They have been updated subsequent to that. So the new numbers that we got today, and these are preliminary numbers because they're really now in the process of doing the 2018 taxable assessed valuation that they will certify in July. But it looked like there was almost a $30 million increase between the numbers that we were using back from that were certified in July to where you are now. Now we understand.
I'm sorry, did you say 30 million?
30 million.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a nice figure.
Yeah, it was. I was like, wait, just make sure.
Really, there are two properties. One property that is worth just under on the tax rolls $18 million, and another one that is $4 million. So, just between those two, you're already at $22 million, and that didn't include any of the others. So, those made a very significant positive impact in our analysis. But we also are very mindful of the fact that the department reads is that for 15 years. You will have to share 50% of those tax receipts back to the city of San Antonio. So we wanted to be very conservative in how we looked at this. I put in here that these numbers are going to be, you know, further quantified by the 2018 values, and as specific information gets back to Bexar County Appraisal District as part of this process to know and quantify what you will be owing the city of San Antonio. So we still are using the 19 years, and we are still using about a 70 to 75 basis point cushion. Well, one of the things that we did, we updated all the numbers. Again, we have significant support and help from your staff and your outside CPA, and then the good news from Bexar County. What we have been able to determine is that there will not be a net tax rate impact based on this bond issue. You're going to see some changes between your INS tax rate and your M&O tax rate. Generally, what we see for most of our communities is that the debt service tax rate covers all of your debt service payments. Right now, your INS tax rate is only 4 pennies, and so it's relying on, if you'll remember in our numbers, we had that $252,000 that was being transferred. I think one of the things that we'd like to suggest going forward, if you decide to move forward with this bond election and should it pass, that we really kind of right-size those numbers. So your INS tax rate will go up, but you will have a corresponding reduction to your M&O tax rate, so that in 2019, your tax rate will be the same. Just the components will be a little bit different.
More like a floater?
No, once they're locked in, the debt service tax rate the debt service will stay the same, so the only movement you will have is if your assessed valuation goes up or down, or there's a big change in your collection ratio. But it just more closely tracks with, you've got your debt service covering your debt and then your maintenance and operations. And I think one of the reasons that it's really done that way is we lock in your debt, and we know what that debt service is at the time you issue your bonds. And we are fundamentally looking at level debt service. So basically, once we right-size that and have it aligned, then we could say that actually right now have a little bit in excess of your minimum fund balance requirement. And so the other thing that we can do, we're going to do twofold. We're going to right-size kind of the INS tax rate, but we're also going to suggest that there's a transfer of those excess monies into your debt service fund, and that will be able to help levelize that debt service tax rate over time. It'll be really critical on the front end as your old bond issues are paying off and this new bond issue comes on, that, you know, you're going to draw on that balance on the front end. But we've worked again very closely with Ms. Frazier at Armstrong and Bond to make sure that the amount that would be transferred over would be deemed in excess of the 6 months reserve that you have been targeting. One of the things I did visit with Ms. Vernon about is if you decide to proceed with the bond election and should it pass, there are going to be a couple of things that we would suggest. For example, like the city adopting a formal fund balance policy. Since the city last did your last bond issue, the rating agencies are becoming much more focused on policies and procedures and practices, and they look at that as guidance on management. And so these are things that we would work with you to do potentially after a bond election would pass, but before you would issue the bonds, so that you could be very well positioned and prepared to undertake that process, and that can be more formalized. One of the things we did talk about is that right now you've got a practice of 6 months. We would likely suggest a policy of 3 months because we want to make sure we give you some room in case things happen. But those would be things that could be talked about later. But the best news is that because of the excess fund balance that you have that could be utilized to help offset the tax rate impact, the additional taxable assessed valuation that is a result of the boundary change, we are comfortable in saying that our analysis, and we work with your staff and also the outside CPA, so the same thing, that we believe that the city can do this without a debt service tax rate impact.
That's good.
Going back to the schedule on slide 9, just wanted to put this in here again. As I know, you're moving closer and closer to ultimately making the decision as to whether you want to proceed, so I thought that might be helpful to have as a reference. And then moving on to page 10. If you'd like more detailed analysis of how this works for the tax rate, we're happy to do that for you between now and the next meeting. Should you decide to proceed, February 8th is really your last meeting, as Ms. Vernon talked about last time, where you could call the election and have it fit within the required window by state law. So if you decide to move forward, we have had initial outreach to the city's bond council just to let them know that this has been a topic for discussion. So if you do proceed, we would make sure that he was notified in advance and could prepare the documentation for your consideration on February 8th. And then I would like to one more time, just again, because as you saw, rates are up and down and up and down. If you want to move forward on the February 8th, I would really like to refresh those numbers one more time right before, just so that we can confirm and work with the most current data that we have. And so with that, I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
So you're saying we have a bigger front end to keep the back end level if we have something?
Yes, sir, because your existing debt does not pay off for...
One is going to overlap the other by what? How many? About 12 months?
It's actually about a year and a half.
18 months.
Yes, sir. And so...
It's not bad.
No, it's really not. And what we've done is we have structured it so you have no principal payment that first year to try to minimize that overlap.
Right.
And then we have level principal and interest the 18 years after that.
What are some of the questions that staff had or, you know, that you guys talked about as far as between you and Tina and those kinds of concerns? And
well, one of the things that, you know, like Ms. Burton mentioned, we were very comfortable after we learned that we'd have to make that additional transfer every year. And what would happen is, as we add additional transfers, and we could see our fund balance going down each year, getting us to a point where nobody was comfortable with. But with that additional assessed value, we see that it stays there. So
bigger down payment, smaller in.
Right. Yeah. So we're happy okay. to know that.
Right.
And even with having paid San Antonio back the 50% for 15 years, that still gives us a nice cushion because the values are so high. And that still doesn't even take into account the residential properties that we acquired, their tax numbers, and then the Springfield development that's going to go in, that value's going to go up once they start building. So we're happy with that. Talk about
Real quick, when this was evaluated on the empty building, or now that HEB is in there?
With the tenants.
With the tenant. Because they've got a forever permanent on that building. So I can't see why on the next 2 or 3 years, you're going to get a 3 to 6% increase. You got to on what's coming out of there. Okay. So 50% is better than no percent.
Yes, sir. And it's actually very interesting because as we were analyzing the numbers, one of the things, one of the tools that we used to help us try to understand is this firm and Tina were talking about, well, this is the date when it went into effect, this is the date that it happened.
Right.
Well, we went back and we looked at the certified value, we compared the certified values, and we were like, oh, let's just go to the top 10 taxpayers.
Right.
Well, we saw in the 17, which was certified in July 25th of 17, they were not showing up in your top 10 taxpayers. So that's what really prompted the phone call to the Bexar County Appraisal District, who said, oh, yes, you had done your documentation
yes.
at the right time. It just, by the time had they went up. Through their internal processes, it was not included when they certified your value.
That's what I thought, yeah.
So that was very fortuitous.
Yeah. What we were basing all of this on was the potential street repair as
right.
well. So February 8th, that we would decide, we would pick and choose and decide if everything on their that potential, all the listings, I mean, there was Ackerman and Gibbs Sprawl
right.
and those things.
And, yes, so we need to decide that because we actually have to pass the ordinance that night.
Right.
Lays out the dollar amounts.
So would that happen on February 8th? That, you know, that piece of us deciding which portions of, I'm sorry, it's in our book, but
yes.
Which portion of those streets or if we wanted to go with that whole proposal or, because I think there's a stoplight in there and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, and that part, and I'll have to visit with Bond Council on Monday is my intent because you kind of talk about the next steps and they would get into those details
right.
until we decide. So I think there'll be more time, you know, after we finalize it, we're going to have the election, the dollar amount, then we can determine, okay, do we want to put traffic light in or not?
Because is that something, so, I mean, potentially that's something that after council tonight, I mean, everybody can go home and review that and then get with you to say, I think this, I think that, or maybe scratch this, and then that's something that you can prepare for us, like with all of the collective thoughts that are given to you, so that on February 8th we can see a better picture instead of having to try to hash it out
yes.
at that
yes.
point, right?
That would be better.
Okay.
I mean,
because then that way everybody would have a clear understanding of where we're at, and then the numbers that are provided then would actually be more impactful, in my opinion, just for the fact because we would know where we were at here.
And we're going to present it as one package and
yes.
not bifurcated like
we
Judson did.
We don't know but we think it'll be more beneficial
think,
to have
yeah.
one package. It's a yes
right.
or no.
Correct.
Because
I think that's where Judson screwed up. I'm sorry.
No.
But that's where they messed up on theirs. But it was like a cafeteria. You know, what do you like this week? Yeah. And you could still get to the same bottom line. And I'd rather look at a bottom line because I think that's easier for people to understand is that.
And it's also with those figures, then we can obviously say, okay, for the next 20 years or the next 15 years, whatever the length will be, this much is coming from our operating
right.
budget into debt service. I mean, those are then that's a real impactful, tangible, easy to understand, so everybody understands exactly what the impact is to residents, to us, you know, that kind of thing.
And it also give the council and the residents a chance to see, okay, within, let's say, the next 5 years, we can see how much we're paying down, and if we decide, okay, we'll do another bond package
right.
for another batch
and
of
come
streets,
back.
And then we overlap, but we would still, you know, be comfortable depending on the assessments and how much our collection rates are.
Well, the way you said it, then we're only going to do 6 months when they overlap. If we have 12 months,
the timing on that assumes that you wouldn't issue potentially until September of 18, and then have it run by
right.
19. So that's your overlap is from the end of
correct
through the fiscal year.
I got you.
19.
Yeah.
If we can,
that works.
That too, if you can
that's a good figure.
That too, so that it's on a side by side, so that we can actually physically see. You know, when it's coming out, yes.
Okay.
And then that way it'll be more, it'll be easier to understand to
yep.
see exactly the dates and the, you know, the month.
That shows
and the other thing to think about also that we analyze is that we currently have some capital expenditure over the last couple of years, like the fire pumper, the street sweeper, the breathing apparatus, those are also included in that debt. So those things would be paid off as well.
Right.
Within the next few years.
And so we're retiring four or five along with the whole nine yards. So in a way, we're going to come out ahead.
Yeah, well, they're kind of staggered.
On like the interest.
The bonds that you mentioned, that'll be paid off in 2019.
Right.
And then, I don't remember offhand, but then I think next is the pumper.
Right, in the street sweeper.
Yes. Yeah. They were all like 3 years, 5 years, 6 years. So right. We'd be halfway through those.
That'll work. Yeah.
Just if you're reconciling the numbers so you know, the estimate from the engineer was $6,715,328.07. We are projecting $6,845,000. It's about $130,000 more. We put that in there because there will be some cost of issuance associated with the transaction. So the numbers I've been showing you have that factored in.
And that those numbers are based on exactly what was on here. So, I mean, that could even go down if we chose as a collective
wish
group.
List.
Yeah, to just, okay.
Okay, so that's the, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
As soon as you call your election.
Right.
So I would think you really want to try to have locked down at that point in time the streets that are to be included and if there's other things. So that way, you, like I said, you can immediately call this and then start the information process for the community.
And you'll have good numbers for the 8th?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And we'll
good.
Have updated interest rates as well.
That'll work.
And then one of the things, too, that we're happy to help you do, and we've done this for other communities, is to the extent that you decide to do call the election, political subdivisions can put out informational brochures. They cannot be for, they cannot be against. They can only state the facts. What are you doing? Why are you doing it? How much will it cost? We have helped our other clients who call elections put something together. And so we're happy to help start working on that if you decide to move forward so we can get that put together. The most important thing you want to do is get out accurate information
right.
as quickly as possible so that misinformation or misunderstandings don't
Before the rumors okay. start,
and
get
that's,
ahead of
and
the curve.
That's really what we want to make sure that everybody literally understands every piece that for this many years, you know, this is coming out. And just to your point, it's just very black and white, you know.
And what we do too is we also just make sure that we, you know, we have all the factual information, and then we would include in there that based on the projections, there is not a tax rate impact associated with this particular bond.
That's very important.
Yes.
Capital that, letters.
That is factual, and so that can be included in there.
Right.
Normally, we have little charts that say, okay, if your home value is X, your impact is Y.
Right.
But with this particular one, that would not be needed. So.
And that is definitely very important
yes.
for us
yes.
to stress. Yeah.
We've got a lot of old folks like me that live out here.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Does Chief going to handle this one, the next one?
You can do it.
Item 7B. Discussion and possible action on an agreement for towing services. I will turn this over to our city manager until Chief possibly gets back in here.
I think Gilbert would
agree. The complete proposals that were submitted by both Johnny's Wrecker Service and Roadrunner Towing. Just kind of a reminder of what we went over last meeting is that we currently have Roadrunner Towing. Tonight you do have a representative from both companies present. Specific questions for
Yeah, I'm sorry, we're dealing with an issue of on Fox Rock. In your packets, you have the write-ups, the proposals, and I believe the copies of the contracts from both companies. Like we had talked about at the first meeting on this, if you look at the proposals, the services to the citizens and the driver and the vehicles that we impound there, they're pretty much neck and neck. There's not a whole lot of difference between the two companies. Where you see the bigger differences are going to be in the city fees or the rebates paid to the city on each tow. The one director service is offering $20 per tow, the other is offering $10. However, there's also a difference in the loaded miles and fees for towing a city vehicle. Depending on how you look at it, I want to say, talked with Tina earlier in the week. Over the course of last year, the city fees generated us about $1,400. It's not a huge amount of money. By doubling that, we could expect that it's going to be on the high end of $2,000, somewhere between $2,500 and $3,000, depending on the number of vehicles. Balance that out with the one service, the two services on towing city vehicles. One is towing city vehicles at no cost. The other is offering a modest loaded, what we call loaded miles. They're not charging us for the tow, but just to recoup some of the cost and gas, they're putting on a modest fee of, depending on the vehicle and the equipment used, of anywhere from about $4 to $8 per loaded mile. Depending on the type of tow, I know police department probably uses that service more than any of the other departments, but there is a possibility that any benefit from the increased city fees could be eclipsed by fees owed on the towing. So taking that all into consideration, and I believe you have a copy of my memo to the city manager outlining the recommendations. We also did take time to look at online complaints for each business, online kudos and all the rest of that. I did reach out to other agencies who use both services to get recommendations to see how the services fared in their city. When push come to shove and looking at everything in the totality, at this point here, my formal recommendation would be to remain with Roadrunner Towing. My tenure here as chief, they've been the only service that we have used. I was speaking with the city manager this morning. We had about 6 years ago, we had one complaint on one driver, and that was addressed. I don't even think I had to take it to the owner. We took it to the office staff. They addressed it, and we never had another complaint. That has been the only issue with that company. I guess the best way to put what's going on, my thoughts in, is to make a change for sake of changing. I have other contracts and vendors that I use that I would love to be able to stand up here and make a recommendation to change. This isn't one of them. I have never personally worked with Johnny's Record Service, so I can't speak for the quality. But for what we have gotten for last year's out of Roadrunner, I would recommend we stay where we're at.
Chief, I wanted to ask, so say like if we have a collision in our town, mm-hmm. and a vehicle needs to be towed, the contracted wrecker, that's the one that would be called, right?
Correct.
Is there anything in the contract to where the contractor has a specific time limit to meet to get to
that's
incident?
It's all spelled out, there has not been, there's been very, very few instances where we had to wait longer than 10 to 15 minutes. One of the drivers actually lives inside the city limits of Kirby. She brings the wrecker home with her when she's on call, and she's able to respond from right around the corner. There, like I said, most of the time when we see an issue in response time, we've got calls and check on the status, is usually during peak traffic hours, rush hour in the morning, rush hour in the evening, where they're having difficulty moving through traffic to get to us.
Is there a penalty fee if we have to wait beyond a certain time?
I do not believe there's any type of penalty fee into it. So.
And one of the two companies are almost next door to each other in a basic sort of way. So the response time, it really is the traffic thing is would be a disadvantage to both either company.
So I mean, yeah, and if you look at the two companies, they're capable of providing the same service. I believe Roadrunner Towing has more equipment on the heavy end, but it's very rarely that we need heavy duty service. Most of ours is like passenger cars,
right,
trucks, traffic accidents, and that sort of stuff. And then the two companies are fairly stacked well in that aspect. I was out at Johnny's Record Service on Monday. He gracious enough to give me a quick tour of the facility. The facilities are comparable. Roadrunner is a little bit further away, but that doesn't have an impact on the officers or us. It doesn't affect the city in any way, shape, or form. Occasionally, when they're holding a long-term evidence storage vehicle, detectives may have to drive out there and fingerprint, photograph, or you know, certain warrants. But it's not a great enough distance to cause us an issue.
Do you know if the drivers from either company are they required to pass background checks?
That I would have to check with each owner. I do believe yes to get that license through the state to do that service and to be work
yes.
That company. They all have to pass background checks. Yeah. And I would. Very comfortable in saying that is the case with both companies.
Okay, thank you.
Is there any other?
I'm good.
I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I make a motion we accept the chief's recommendation.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Aldridge to accept the Roadrunner Towing for services. Is there any further discussion?
How long is the time frame?
3 years.
3 years.
Is there any other further discussion? Will Abraham please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Alcott?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. I wanted to thank both of you
yes.
for coming out tonight. To me, it's actually extremely important that when somebody is asking for services that there is an appearance. So I want to thank both of you for coming out and taking time to present yourself to us. So thank you.
I'd like to thank y'all for trusting us with the service for the city. We try our best for you. It's a tough gig for both our companies, our business. But we do our best for you out here, and we appreciate you looking at both of them.
Well, it wasn't broke, so, you know, just, not that Johnny's isn't. I've done business with both of them, and tough. But, I mean, you guys have done us good, and, you know, at this point in time, it's just one of those things. It's a good thing.
Thank you. All right. Item 7C, discussion and possible action to renew the City of Kirby's GIS system. I will turn this over to our city manager.
Last fiscal year, we were instructed to purchase a GIS system for the City of Kirby. A couple of things that we've been able to do with the system since we purchased it. We did two things last year. We bought a desktop version, which was $1,500 that we could download onto one computer. We also purchased an online service who comes with 5 user logins that we have staff using, so each department has one person assigned to it. And then what we did not know at the time is that there was going to be an annual renewal cost to keep the online system. And what we discovered, I met with all of the staff who've been using it to see, okay, is this an expenditure that we really think is going to be necessary to spend about $3,500 to $4,000 a year. But we do think it'll be beneficial. Code compliance and mapping system that was presented to you at the last meeting is that system, which if we keep it, we can actually attach a link to our website and allow the on this mapping system. And so we are asking that council allow us to renew this agreement and then we put that into the next budget amendment. We do think it'd be beneficial to keep the system.
Realistically, how long do we think it would take to load that information? Because you and I have had a discussion about what my feeling is as far as getting all of our engineering information on that system.
I'm going to say in maybe about 3 months we can have, you know, our public works director fully trained on it. The staff person who's most, he's the best at it right now is Layman. He's really, really good with the system. So we'll be talking about doing some internal training. It also, with this package, comes with several online trainings, comes with tech support. So, you know, he's the newest employee, so he's not really had time to learn the system yet. But I think in about 3 months, he'll be able to have that down.
After that, then we feel confident that we can have all that information loaded shortly thereafter. Because I'd like to set, if we move with this, I'd like to set a date so that we can bring it back, so that we can ensure that all that information, because I think that other information that we may decide and direction we may decide to go later, or the potential direction to go, will depend on how efficient that software is, so that we have a better stance to.
It's expandable, correct? It's expandable?
Yes, and I'm comfortable with 90 days because we're at a point right now where we already have every property listed. We have all of our new boundaries listed. We have fire hydrants on there at this point. So there's just a few more things we need to load in the system and then again just get the staff trained on.
And I think that's important too as far as staff training, so it doesn't always fall on, deflect on laymen. And not only that, but then if somebody's not able to do it, then there's somebody right there that can pick up that.
Are you figuring June?
Well, if I would say, at the latest, probably June 30th, to have all that information loaded just so that we could. But that way we can also follow up. So
next meeting in June, have a final follow-up for the staff training and everything else and all the reviews that you guys have, because I know Fire's got it. Like you said, I know Layman's working on it, putting all the stuff in there, and if we can get away from
it. Well, we're establishing our own archives in-house, and that's really something we've needed sorely for so long, because we talked about 1,000 times, just for instance, code compliance, repeat offenders, and keeping tracking for the same property keeps coming up, so the judge finally knows, hey, they've been here 5 times, things like that.
Yeah. We should have an update on that.
So this will, if we move forward with this, then so we're going to put it in the budget, though, at least so that if it's beneficial, we can make sure that it's there.
Yeah, we'll start putting it on an annual basis. Yeah. And so this one would go through March 31st of 2019 if we renewed it.
Oh, that'll work.
They added a little, like a month or so, because I think it was February initially, so they added a couple of months.
And we don't believe that this is going to become obsolete, so where we have information and then we may have to, I'm just concerned, moving forward that.
Right. No, that's a good point. That was one of the things with the salesperson that we talked about, is that if we don't renew it, what we have now, the desktop version, will be obsolete because they annually do updates.
Okay.
I was just going to ask you.
You get the updates.
Mm-hmm. So as long as we continue to renew the agreement, then we'll still have all of the training.
Our training, if we have anybody else that we need trained on or whatever.
Do they have webinars?
They do. When we first got it, we all sat in here and did an online webinar.
And how many logins is this money?
We have 5 logins.
5.
And 1 desktop.
Okay, and the tech support, is it 24/7 or is it just like so many calls or so many hours of tech support?
That's open. You get 24/7 unlimited tech support.
Well, I like the fact that she said that she can tie it into our website page.
Yes.
Certain individual things too that allow them to go on and do it without doing anything. But then they can view certain things, whether it's with public works, code compliance, anything of the nature that they choose to put on there. I vote that we approve the $3,714.29.
Alone
to add that into the fiscal budget.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Councilmember Grant, to renew the City of Kirby GIS system in the amount of $3,714.29 and to continue each fiscal. All right. Will Abraham please call roll? Oh, sorry. Is there further discussion? Will Abraham please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Aldrich?
Yes.
Councilmember Opadak?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right. Let's get moving on that and get that information logged in.
We're fine. That sounds good. That's
we can
good
bring
thing.
Something else to do. Item D, discussion and possible action on progress of construction activity on the 2017 water mains replacement project. I have asked that Monique keep this on our agenda for the water main project until completion. There obviously is great concern with different facets of it, so let's see. I'll turn it over to Gilbert. You handed us something.
Yes, sir. Here. Right here. Take your.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. What I handed out to you was a replacement project timeline that was given to me today by the Mr. Roy Heath of San Antonio Constructors. It just gives a timeline as to what they're doing and when they're going to be done with it and, you know, the process. They've been dispatching out a couple of extra crews to finish up a little bit quicker. We had an adjustment that we're probably going to do on the tie-in on Arneson, so pending approval. And what that's going to do is that's going to bring down the amount of people that are affected by the tie-in, because the valves that are in that area are old, and there's a possibility that they might have to shut off on the valve. So we sent that information to our Ford engineer, and he's going to look at it. I think today he was approving it for the most part. So that should go in, and it'll cut down on a little bit of time, and the only people that will be affected on that shutdown, I believe, are Scotsman and Arneson themselves. Once that tie is completed, that should be done on the 29th, and they'll be doing notifications for the residents. I have given 48-hour notice, which will be a little bit more than that. Also, they're looking to do the tie-in on Scotsman, which they're proposing on the 7th. Again, pending their approval. The restoration and payment of Arneson will be from the 2nd through the 12th. Then they'll go to the topsoil and sod, the 12th through the 15th, cleanup on the 16th, and final completion should be on the 19th of February. They're currently working right now on Happiness right now. What they're doing is they're digging it out with the backhoes, they're doing the densities, and they're compacting everything. Now, this is a very important process because it's towards the final step. It's already tied in the mains on that side, the new valves on that side. There was a leak right down the corner of Crest and Happiness that has been taken care of. Also, they went back and they tied in all the services. There was a concern because of the depth that the curb went on the short service sides to get to that. However, we got that worked out. They were able to take care of that part. The process that's going on right now is that they're compacting it to make sure that once they're out of there, we don't have any trench downs and issues with the asphalt. So that's a point where they're just going down a couple of feet on top of the existing bedding for the main. So that compaction is very important. They got to do it in layers, and they do it with the roller. So
is that something Ford Engineering comes out and just verifies, or you're verifying?
Well, I inspect, and then they have the densities that they send out to a company, and they verify that they're correct and that they won't fail the trench. So
that's a different type of packing material that they're using under the piping, and then what goes over the piping.
Yes, sir.
Being compacted at the different densities.
Yes, sir. On the plans, they called for them to go ahead and use dry material, which is pretty much what they took out and put it back in. As far as the bedding for the main, they're using a modified peat gravel that they bed the main with, and the services as well to a certain point. The long services, we're not able to find all the way because they're tying in with the service companies right there to not impede so much into the rest of the street. So, but it's being bedded with that, and then they're required to do a foot above the main with that modified, and then from there up they go on the densities. They go with the backfill material, and they compact it in there. So And then you add some water to it, too, to get that air out of there. You know, so we won't have any trench downs.
It works.
Safety in the streets.
So here's some background. So when we were here January 11th, we were told that January 12th, the tie-in at Happiness and Diadem would be completed. However, because they didn't give residents 48-hour notice, Gilbert was said, no, stop the presses. When they were here, they also said that restoration on Happiness for pavement would start on the 15th. However, that was a holiday. Gilbert again said, stop the presses. You cannot work on those holidays. So
2 days off, sir.
Yeah, so then January 16th, we had the ice in everywhere. So that didn't work. January 18th, there was a leak at Crest and Happiness. That was called in. Initially, they were told that, oh, it's going to leak a few days because of the work they're doing. It was bubbly because I actually witnessed that piece of it, and so I actually called dispatch and asked them to get in touch with the city because it was not just a trickle. It was bubbling. So Gilbert had people, I don't know if that was San Antonio Constructors that was in charge of that piece of it or if that was...
Contractor, as soon as I was notified of it, I saw it, it was coming out with this inconsistency as a main break. Something like that on a new time, and I think, you know, it was able to pop out or cause something worse. So I called them up, they responded quite quickly, and luckily where the location of that leak was at, they were able to isolate it with the four valves without affecting any of the homeowners. So, and then they went, in turn, went back and completed those repairs. I've been in constant communication with them on all of that. So.
You mean they didn't use Flex Seal?
And there is, I mean, I do have a great concern of the way that they leave the streets and their unattentiveness to the traffic that is coming in and the residential traffic as well. So today you saw... I believe you may have seen it as well. So there are open gaping holes in the curbside and they were left open, unattended. And I'm not talking that these are small holes. I mean, these are deep. It could have potentially caused huge problems, especially because traffic is still going down Happiness, even though it says no through traffic. So potentially somebody could have really injured themselves, a child walking home from school, because Happiness is embedded with kids when they come home from Kirby Middle School. So I did contact our city manager, and she said that Gilbert was on top of that. So shortly after 5:15, they were still gaping holes. However, there was large equipment hauling pretty fast up and down, in my opinion, not careful and not tedious as to filling those holes back up. And there's still, obviously, and I understand that, you know, when Roy was here and we were talking about the water, they were talking about, yes, they would excavate the water. And I get the fact that the water's shallow, but the water is creating a mess on not only Happiness on both sides, but Crown and Crest as well. And like I said, there's no flag people that are, you know, conducting traffic. So even at Kirby Drive and Happiness, when they were working, there's not any traffic control whatsoever methods. They go in with no shoring. I mean, it's like I said, and I obviously know the city can't be every place at once, but I have grave concern because this is also the same company that's going to do the Ben Zingelman project. So
yeah, here's the thing I was going to tell you. That's why I asked to review the city of San Antonio. If it's 12 inches or more, if you walk away from the job site, it has to be covered.
Right,
period.
And that's my concern.
But I mean, it's in the... Our requirements right now don't include those. That's why they're doing.
We actually do have ordinances that actually say that it has to be, because even when the city comes out, they actually put the residents exactly back or the way it was. So, like I said, I just want this to be up in the forefront so that everybody is aware. And Arneson and Scotsman is the same issue. It's just the fact that I really don't think that they're paying attention or giving the attention to that job at hand, especially when there is, because I don't know if anybody's gone through happiness if you've had to go that way, but it is actually a main thoroughfare because people use that area to bypass certain areas, Benzingelman, they use it to bypass Benzingelman going home just for the fact that there's so much traffic. And like I said, today it was a complete mess, and I'm just very concerned. So, I don't know if Ford Engineering oversees the job, but considering that we've had, you know, they're the ones who had the specs and those kinds of issues, and even though you're actually able to inspect it, I don't know that the city of Kirby actually has all of the necessary equipment to ensure that, yes, it's been packed correctly, yet no, it's not going to cave in, because as we mentioned two meetings ago, the street itself is, there are stress fractures, and it was not caused by our everyday flow of traffic in the city. And so I'm gravely concerned just because the fact that when Roy was here, he also said from curb to 7 feet. So the curb to 7 feet is only on one side of happiness. It doesn't encompass the other side, where in fact there are divots and rivets now from the big heavy equipment where they're backing up into the curb and everything else.
So that's what I was trying to say, that within San Antonio, there when a contractor takes on and goes so far, he has to pave both sides of the street, okay, and has to go curb to curb and then so far on either side. But also, and this is what I do for a living, is I've suggested before, and we didn't address it, but in certain instances, you need an officer other than a guy with a little sign that says slow and stop.
No guy with a slow stop.
That's what I'm saying. They don't have that even.
Right, but
we don't require it. That's what I wanted to do was step up and require it.
The laws require, the construction laws require that they have somebody there.
No.
If they have a sign up that says no through traffic.
That's all they have to have.
That's all they have.
They don't have to have a person.
There's not one at Kirby Drive and Crest. At Kirby Drive and Happiness.
They only have Happiness.
Right.
Oh, just to clarify on that side.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So as a city, we need to be doing more to ensure that, whether it be Public Works, whether it be, Ford Engineering coming to look at the progress, because like I said, when Roy was here, though, he also mentioned that he had taken pictures of all of the streets, the aerial, so he was going to bring it forth, and I guarantee you everybody's going to be able to see that the streets on Scotsman, Arneson, Happiness, Crest, and even parts of that Kirby Drive where they have, are not in the same condition. So, like I said, considering that Benzingelman is going to be an absolutely larger project, I just think it's that we need to get ahead of it and have as many people on board that.
That's what I'm trying to say. When we write the, when he comes forward and it goes out for what they need as far as taking care of it, that you're going to have a human for traffic control, at least one or two officers there. That's exactly what I do. It's called lane closures. And they're there to make sure the traffic is regulated properly, safety, all these kind of things. And it's up to the contractor to take care of that.
Yeah,
part of his deal. But we got to put it in writing as far as these are the criteria you have to meet in order for what you're saying exactly. And if you take a lunch break, the holes are covered. Unless, things like that. Like if you don't have a person sitting there, then it has to be covered. All these kind of little different things that we had never experienced before. That's exactly what you're saying, and we do need to get ahead of it because I don't want to see a kid get hurt. I don't want to see a kid fall or traffic. To give you an example and to back up real quick, way back when Sid was still here on the street behind me, they dug a hole across one side of Stafford on the westbound side, and it was about 6 foot deep. Well, they semi-packed it. Put up nothing. The paper lady, she went eastbound throwing the papers to the southbound traffic side. And she turned around and it's coming the wrong way. And because of the rain, it had washed out. It's a big puddle. It had washed out to 4 foot deep and she ran her van into it. And it cost the city right at $7,000. So, yes, I agree with the mayor 110%. And we need to make sure that we have the qualifications or specifications in place so a contractor understands you control traffic, you have traffic people controlling it, you will take care, if you go break for lunch, you cover the holes. You know, you also make something else. If you have to close a sidewalk, which they're going to probably have to do eventually, like on Ben Zingle, that's going to be a trip because parking is going to be a bad. Anyway, what I'm saying to you is that, yes, please, let's get ahead of that and get these specifications so that the contractor understands beyond a shadow of a doubt, I've got to have people and staff there.
And the job is obviously way past due.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we are way out of our finish zone because now, I mean, now we're going into February, and I'm not confident that February is even going to, you know, be done because apparently something keeps coming up. I understand that we've had a few bad weather, but, I mean, we've been really behind the eight ball.
How many weather days did you grant on that? Two? Did you grant two weather days on that or one?
I believe two.
That's
and a holiday?
Yeah, it's the rain events.
And the ice.
And the ice.
Yeah, and the holiday.
And oh, yeah, and the holiday. Well, that's automatic, yeah. It's his discretion on ones that they could work but couldn't because of the circumstance.
But I, like I said, I just I had asked Monique just to make sure that we had this on each agenda just so that either Gilbert can give us an update or San Antonio Constructors themselves, just so that everybody can. I've had residents on Scottsman Arneson call as well. Councilmember Wilson actually called me and asked me, have you seen Happiness? And I was like, yes, I've seen it. So, you know, I just want to make sure that we keep it on the forefront and that Gilbert has the, you know, the support that he needs. We pay Ford Engineering a lot of money to oversee jobs and projects, and, you know, they should have a hand in this as well, especially if something specs isn't right or, you know, we've had that incident too, so. But
on that same note, we need to make sure that Gilbert has what he needs when you go out and bid for jobs, because that's the time that all this needs to be put in place and the jobs go out for bid. Now, a lot of this stuff's going to have more money when that bid goes out than what we're getting back in for quotes. But then again, you have to make sure that Monique, as a city manager, is allowing him to have as much teeth that he can have for the city in doing these jobs bidding out, which is going to reference back into Ford Engineering going back, looking at the different things. And because right now, we have contracts that have already gone out, even on Ben Zingelman, those things are already said and done. So he's trying to stay on top of it to keep ahead of the game. But in order for him to really have a bite, we've got to do this before the bid goes out.
Correct.
And that's going to take Monique, him, Ford Engineering, and whoever else to make sure these things are put in place. Being whether it's 7 foot off the street or they're redoing the entire street or anything else. And like I said, if it's a basic job, then it's going to add more money to that job when those bids do go out and they come back into us too.
But I think the thing is,
it's going to be, you're going to pay for it.
Cosmo Pearson, exactly. That's exactly where we're coming from. And, you know, I look at the city of San Antonio and I talk to some of the inspectors, and you think, well, gosh, that's kind of hard on the contractor. But when you stop and look at it, once the integrity of a street is fractured, and it's due to the fact of their work, well, that's why they do it. They've learned, San Antonio has learned the hard way. And we are, I think, we're already getting ahead of the curve. You're already good at responding and staying ahead. If we maintain that, get ahead of it, stay ahead of it. You know, don't be the little country town that, oh my God, later.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
You have to do it before the pickup.
Yeah, you're right.
So we make sure, I mean, granted, we have the city manager gets with Gilbert. Gilbert's learning at a very fast pace.
Yes.
City manager's learning with Gilbert on certain things at a very fast pace.
I was going to say.
To give them the authority to make sure that they put the contract out, everything's in there.
Right.
Correct.
And that's kind of my thing, is they're writing the specs. I mean, they're doing it. And then it's, we pay a lot of money. They're the ones who we go out for, you know, with the bid. We accept bids based on their expertise. I mean, because I don't think any of us up here are engineers. So, again, it's based on their expertise. And, of course, the city is going off on the people that we're paying all this money to ensure that. So that's what I'm saying. I just think that they need to make sure, we need to make sure that we're holding them accountable too for that piece of it. I mean, I don't know, has Ford Engineering even gone out to see any of that, to your knowledge?
I talked to Mark about that today.
I think after our last little deal where he said he couldn't make it, I don't think that's ever going to happen again.
I wouldn't put it past him.
Well, no, I don't. I really don't. Hopefully.
All right. Thanks, Gilbert.
Yes.
All right. Item 8A, request by mayor and council members for items to be placed on future city council agendas and announcements on city events and community interests. Councilmember Abadak.
No, I don't
know
anything right now.
All right. Councilmember Aldridge.
I would like to put back on the agenda the so-called garage on Gibbs Brawl.
Well, you beat me to it.
I'd like to look at that again and see what the progress has been made, and relook at those deadlines and to see really what we really need to do about this. And that's all I have.
Councilmember Grant.
Well, now that you stole my thunder.
Sorry, Mike.
No, I agree, because here's the thing. You know, for so many times, we've gone after the fact. Well, this is incredulous. I mean, when a guy calls a carport a garage or whatever, you know, it's like the Trojan horse. So, you know, a little lack, but I mean, we've got to get it back on and make sure it's a priority. I think that a lot of people were here that night, and they're looking to see now what the city is going to do as a follow-up. And, you know, I cannot believe that the gentleman can encroach 5 feet. I mean, you know, a foot or two is one thing, but not knowing where you're building something is a little outrageous. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Councilmember Pierce.
I have nothing on the agenda. Just want to thank city staff, all of the staff. Appreciate everything you guys do.
Thank you, everybody, for coming out tonight. Filing for consideration to be put on the May ballot ends on February 16th, so if anybody's interested on filing, you will need to do that before February, or by February 16th. And everybody have a safe night. Everybody stay well.
Well, fine.
804.
I'm sorry, Mike. I didn't mean to steal your thunder.
I was seeing that up, and I'm thinking, I've got.